Okay, so the issue at hand this evening is what exactly we consider to be immediate. I realized as I was going through this, it's very, very difficult dealing with Borer and really aligning everything perfectly and neatly and saving each issue for sort of its own cheer. We've spoken about this before. We've touched upon this before. Everything is so intertwined that it's very difficult to just siphon out all the issues dealing with Miyad and save it for its own shear. So certainly we'll be touching on some things that we've already spoken about a little bit. But having said that and knowing that there is some measure of background, let's get going anyway. Probably the most important place to start off is the following Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf, Ayin, Dal, and Amanal, that really introduces us to this idea. We've spoken about it as one of the three great criteria of how we go about performing Borer, how we go about performing Borer in a mutter fashion. But here's the Gemara in Shabbos stuff. Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Amar Abaye said, Borer va'ochel la'alter. You can separate and then eat as long as it's la'alter, as long as it's being done for immediate use. U'borer u'meniach la'alter. He can also separate and leave it aside and then also eat immediately. How do you do both? How do you separate it and then also have it? How do you separate it, set it aside, and then also eat it immediately? What it means is that, you know, if I'm actually eating the challah right now, so that is really la'alter. If I'm putting a potato on the side to then dive in right away or shortly thereafter, that's also la'alter. So, so we got into that. Yes, we got into that with respect to separating ochel from ochel, right? And whether or not that has a different... That is where we've seen this lashon previously. The Gemara now makes a jump, and this does factor into that Rambam a little bit, but the Gemara then makes a jump. So it goes from that being acceptable, that being permissible, separating and leaving it aside for immediate use. I mean, I might not literally be putting it directly into my mouth, but I'm separating it to be able to eat shortly thereafter. Then we jump to ulabo bayom, but if you separate it for that very day, later on that very day, lo yivor, that he can't do. And if you did separate it, the nasa kibora laotzer v'chayev chatas. If you separate, even though it's bo bayom, even though it's for that very day, I'm not separating on Shabbos for after Shabbos. No hachana issues per se. It's just that I'm separating on Shabbos for some time later on Shabbos. So if you did that, it's effectively like separating laotzer. It's like separating to be able to stash aside and leave in some silo someplace, meaning for use that's going to be much later on. There's no distinction. So the Vilna Gaon, this is really, I'm kind of skipping over the Shulchan Aruch. I'll come back to the Shulchan Aruch in just a second, but just to be aware of the following. So the Vilna Gaon in the Bir Hagra on the Shulchan Aruch here in Shin Yotes, very, very beginning of Shin Yotes, quotes this Gemara and says as follows. It's really the very end of that first line, the Dibur HaMaskil, the Chol Ma, that that he says as he quotes this Gemara, he makes reference to this Gemara. Miduka Amar Sham Ulubo Bayom. From the fact that the Gemara says there in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, what we just read, it says Lubo Bayom, that when we're trying to come up with an example of that which is prohibited, that which is not considered to be for immediate use, we talk about it being done for some time later on that day. The Gemara says Mashma de la alter lav la alter mamish. What indication does that give? That when we speak about immediate use, we don't necessarily mean immediate use. I mean, it doesn't have to be mamish right now. Effectively, what you would want the Gemara to do is to speak about, if this was the case, if it was the case that it's either immediate or bust, you'd want the Gemara to say that if you separate it for immediate use, then it's permissible. And if you separate it for 5 minutes from now, or 10 minutes from now, then that's problematic. And the Gemara does no such thing. The Gemara's next jump or next step, trying to describe what's not la'alter, what's not immediate, is to speak about something that's going to be done for later on that day. Sounds like many, many hours from now. So the Gemara says that it seems from our very Gemara, by the way, this might be a Bavli Yerushalmi issue, but at least in our Gemara in the Bavli, the suggestion seems to be, or the implication seems to be, that as long as it's not for much later on that day, then it would be acceptable. So now we have this huge middle ground that needs to be contended with in terms of figuring out, so what exactly do we mean when we speak about immediate? If immediate isn't really immediate, it just means shortly, then how shortly is shortly? How shortly is immediate? How immediate is immediate? What are we talking about? So at the very beginning of Shin Yotes, which is really where this Bir HaGra is actually found, Let's just jump straight to the Ramah in Sif Aleph, if you have it. And the Ramah says as follows in Sif Aleph. As long as you're separating for the purpose of that Sa'uda, this narrows the playing field a little bit more, that he's immediately planning on reclining or eating, at Mikre La'altar, that is still considered to be La'altar, that's considered to be for immediate use. So it needs to be for this next upcoming Sa'uda. Again, might argue that perhaps if it was for that the line in the sand is that if I'm doing it in the morning for, let's say, an afternoon Sa'uda, that would be problematic. But maybe anything within a few hours, even before the meal, maybe that would be appropriate. Sounds like the Ramah seems to be trying to shrink that time frame a little bit more than that. But he says, Shemesiv Bamiyad, he's planning on eating this meal right away. So then that would still be considered la'altar, but it doesn't need to necessarily mean that I'm putting it into my mouth really immediately. And even if he has other people eating with him, then that's still going to be permissible. So that's important for two reasons. First of all, it's important to know that I can prepare something even for somebody else, not just for myself. Remember, why did we say that if you have these three criteria, this is going back three shiurim now, if you have these three criteria, it's mutter. You remember the svara behind that? Why do we say, miyad, biyad, ochel mitoch psolos? You separate good from bad, you do it for immediate use, and you do it with your hand. Why does that suddenly transform boer into something that's mutter, as opposed to asr? What do we say that those three criteria actually guide us towards? Why does that suddenly become a more mutter type of boer? It was a malachas machshavas in eating. Right. Meaning that if you do those three things, then it's derech achila. And if it's derech achila, it's not a malachas machshavas. It's just part of normal functioning human behavior. So it's not a malachas machshavas. If I'm eating, bear in mind that maybe you might suggest that it's only considered to be appropriate if I do it for myself. Maybe I would think along those lines because it has to be, right? I don't usually feed. I don't usually bring the food into somebody else's mouth. So therefore, maybe I would think that I can only do it for myself and not for somebody else. The Ramah is telling you that you can't do it for somebody else. But this is also going to become important because what this means is that even though you start to increase the guest list slightly, which means that more preparation is going to be necessary, which means that it's also going to take me more time, which means it's going to be less immediate. You keep on pushing it further and further out if there are other people sitting with you. That might still be appropriate as long as you're preparing the food for that next upcoming meal, and it's for immediate-ish kind of use. Okay, so we have this kind of vague area. That's what the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, Paskins, and it's coming from this point from the Gra. So the Mishnah Berurah later on Simin Shin Chaf Aleph. This is, he's actually speaking about Tochen there, but Tochen we find a very similar criterion in that something that might otherwise be considered Tochen might be considered to be grinding. Let's say you're chopping vegetables into particularly small pieces, might be problematic. However, if they are, and there's, maybe we'll do this next, I don't know.
That might be, that's a little different, isn't it?
Why?
Because with tochen, if you have, let's say, something fresh.
Right.
You want it fresh. So you tochen it, let's say ground pepper. That might be bad. That's
ground,
not good.
Right, that wouldn't be okay. Okay, you're thinking of Yontif now.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm saying like you chop something into very small pieces.
Right.
It might lose something in if it hangs around.
Right, so potentially, without getting into it too deep, the fact is that we find a similar criterion with Tochen that we do in Borer, and that in some circumstances, doing so or preparing it for immediate use might make it more permissible. So that's where the Mishnah Berurah is discussing this topic again, what's considered to be for immediate use. And there he mentions the idea of at least waiting until everybody gets out of shul. Waiting until shul lets out. Not doing it before people are even starting to come back home from shul, because that's no longer considered to be immediate. How much time does that give you? I don't know. Half hour. An hour. Meaning if we know that shul is already let out, and we know that people are already on the way back home, and then basically more or less by the time everybody gets home, we're going to start eating immediately. So it could be anywhere from, I don't know, 5-10 minutes to maybe, I don't know, 45 minutes. An hour, again, still rather vague, but that at least gives us something of a cap, something of an endpoint in terms of don't go, you know, much beyond that. Interesting. Yeah, let's take a look at this now. So I've mentioned this before, that at the end of Rav Eider's Sefer on Shabbos, he has a collection of tshuvas from Rav Moshe Feinstein, his Rebbe. that he wrote specifically, a whole series of them with respect to issues of Borer. And effectively, in the Shaila, you can take a look if you like, but effectively the Shaila is that Rav Eider says, it seems like all over, going back even to the Rishonim and then certainly into the Achronim, we find that the term Sha'a is thrown around with respect to what we consider to be Miyad. So when we use this term Sha'a, sounds like an hour, can we actually be somech on that as something of a more concrete kind of time? Can we say that it's 60 minutes?
So that if it's 60 minutes from...
60 minutes from the time that you're going to eat, let's say. Like, really sit down to eat. So if I know that we're really going to be sitting down to eat in 60 minutes from now, I'm within that 60-minute window, is everything not that everything is fair game, but does that at least give me a time frame that I could legitimately consider to be miyad? I could say that this is now within the time frame of Samach L'Seuda, it's close to the Seuda, adjacent to the Seuda, I'm within that time frame, more or less. Is that acceptable or is that unacceptable? So Rav Meisher says no. Basically, that the 60-minute, when we say Shah, we're not really talking about 60 minutes. And actually, we're not talking, it's not even like Shah Uzmanios. Then when we say Shah, what we really mean is as follows. Here's what he says in the Tshuva, it's just a quick line. Ein Shah Azu Shel Shi'er Shah, Ela Hazman Shahaderech Hule Ishazu Shemesader Sa'ochlin. It's not really, the Shah is not really a Shah. Rather, it's the amount of time that the woman of the house, the Balabusta, who is actually preparing and arranging all the food, La Sa'uda, however long it takes her to appropriately prepare the food for the Sa'uda, that's how much time you have. The Kodim Lazet, if it's anything more than that, then Afilu Sha'a Ketana Asur. Even if it's just a small little Sha'a, again, he uses the same term probably to make the point, that even if it's a Sha'a Ketana, even if it's just a few minutes or a few moments, that would be problematic. It becomes very, very difficult to guesstimate. Certainly can't prepare before you go to shul. That already the Mishnah Berurah seems beferish about. To prepare before you go to shul, he says wait until you know that shul is basically let out, right? That people are, meaning to even leave shul, let's say, in theory, let's say somebody comes to shul and, you know, duck out like before Adon Olam, you know, something like that. Duck out before Adon Olam and duck out, you know, after Chazar Sashat, you want to go and prepare things at home, that would still be problematic. That's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to say. Wait until shul really lets out. And Rav Moshe gives like a more general kind of, however long it takes, sounds like he said, however long it takes basically to prepare, but none of this like 60 minute stuff. Rav Eider wanted to use it almost as a kula, right? If you can say 60 minutes, and let's say I know that I'm within 45 minutes, I start preparing now I have 20 minutes until we're really going to start eating, and I can go on a stroll, I can go do whatever. Rav Moshe says, absolutely not. When we use the term shah, it doesn't mean 60 minutes, absolutely not. It means the amount of time that it typically takes to be able to get ready for that Seuda.
Maybe it's Toch Kedei Seuda, because I know in Shas, in Psachim, there's an Inyan of a Seuda, I forgot what the context was, is where you start the Seuda, let's say 4 o'clock, Erev Pesach.
It's an Erev Pesach.
And you continue, your Seuda is 5 hours long.
Right.
And it's into, let's say, 10 o'clock at night, Seder night. I think maybe with benching.
Poris Mabu Makadish, that you might have to like interrupt the previous
meal. So you see that there could be Seudos, which are very, very long.
Very, very long. So that's going to become, so that is relevant with respect to one issue that I don't know that we'll get to anywhere else. I may as well mention it now. No matter how long the Seuda is, certainly if you are separating food for the purpose of that Seuda, and it's close to that Seuda, however we define close to the beginning of that Seuda, the fact that it then stretches on for another 5 hours is irrelevant. It's still considered to be Samach L'Seuda. Certainly also, let's say, if I, first course is salad, and the salad's got those candied almonds, and I can't tolerate the idea that candy almonds should be served at the beginning of the meal. It's for dessert, after all. So I separate the candied almond out of my salad, ochel mitoch psolas, for the sake of having it at dessert. Now, I know my chevra and I know my company. I'm not getting to dessert for another 3 hours. That's still considered to be samach l'seuda, meaning it's all part of that, so no matter how long the seuda stretches on for. What Rav Moshe says is that in terms of samach l'seuda, we define that by prep work, the amount of time that it ordinarily takes to actually prep. And we'll come back to that in a second. I just want to mention one other item here, is that an interesting psak from Rav Eliashib brought in Ayil Meshulash, which we've quoted before, noting that even if you are within whatever the appropriate time frame is, let's call it, you know, 45 minutes, let's call it an hour, whatever you want to say, that a significant activity that comes in the middle of that time frame is nevertheless going to be considered an interruption, even if you are still within the proper time frame. a pe'ula chashuva, the way that he puts it, is considered to be a significant interruption. Example, I know that the company is going to be here and we're going to get started in the next half hour. So great.
That's a good question.
Getting started within the next half hour, next 20 minutes. Zip through the salad, make everything, everything is prepared. I do whatever bora I need to do, but it's certainly some chlasudah because we're going to start in the next 20 minutes. And I worked really quickly, and now I have 15 minutes left. So good, that was my plan. My plan was that I would like zip through it really quickly, and I have 15 minutes left. I can go on a spazier, I can go outside, and then I'll come back, and then we'll still... So that's problematic. Planning on preparing for the food, no matter what you say the time frame, just because you work quickly doesn't mean that you have this extra time. You know, it's like my guys know that we have a test for Gemara test every Friday. And they know that if they finish quickly, they get a much longer break. Because usually I'll give like recess depending on whenever the last guys get out. So if you finish really quickly, you get that much extra time to play ball. It doesn't work that way. Just because you did Boer very, very quickly, made the salad very quickly, doesn't mean that you have extra time to do whatever you want. Archel Shabbos quotes this psak and says that it's kind of difficult to figure out exactly what is considered to be a significant activity. He says, for sure, you're going on a walk, planning, l'chatchila, to go on a walk. I'm going to do the borer now, I'll go on a walk, I'll be back all within the next 15 minutes. That's really a problem. And you should go on the walk first, come back, and then do the salad immediately against samach l'sa'uda. He says that's certainly an issue.
As long as it wasn't in your plan.
An example of something that at least Archel Shabbos says is certainly going to be problematic would be something like going on a tiyul, going on a spatzir, going for a walk, going to meet everybody at shul. Certainly a problem. So certainly something that wouldn't be a problem would be something like
your guest is like
getting a kid dressed, something like that, right? Getting a kid dressed, going to the bathroom, something like that, right? So that. That I'm in the middle of my prep work, and then I'm going to like go upstairs, and I'm going to get my daughter dressed, and then I'm going to come back downstairs. That's not considered a significant enough activity to say that now my preparation wasn't really samach l'seudah because I've had a hefsek in between. What about Mordechai, the case that you're mentioning, where my plan was really for this to be samach l'seudah, and then something came up. I figured everybody would be here by now. Now nobody's here. Now I'm getting concerned. Let me go out and actually look for them. That certainly would not be a problem. We'll talk about a similar case that is subject of a machlokas. But certainly in that instance, where my intent was to do this for immediate preparation, for this immediate seudah, and then something came up and I had to leave the house very quickly, that would not really be a problem in all likelihood of not being samach l'seudah.
I think in Shas also they use when you, like, I think by Brachas HaMazon, where if let's say you have you're eating, and then all of a sudden you're called to be Mesamei Chasam Bakala at a Chasam.
Same Gemara.
And you go, right?
Later on in the parish.
Is it same Gemara? Yeah.
Judge about Chini Seudah, but it's in Arvei Pesachim also.
I think it was in Brachas.
May also be in Brachas. Certainly in Arvei Pesachim, yeah.
And then you come back. So that's really sort of like a hefsek, and that's the whole discussion of the Gemara.
That's a little bit different because that actually pertains to Shinui Makom, which might be specific to Seudah as opposed to prep.
No, because this is where they come back.
They come back, but you had a Shinui Makom in between.
Right.
So I was Mashana Makom in between. Can I consider my Seudah to still be going? Because at least I haven't seen that anybody would consider that to be... Here the issue seems to be, what everybody's driving at, is that it's much more of a das kind of issue. Is my kavana to separate now for the purpose of something that's coming up very, very quickly or within the next, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 minutes? Or is my kavana, or even if it is within the next 10, 20, 30 minutes, but if my kavana is to do something significant between my separating, between my preparation and the Seudah, then even if I'm within a pretty narrow time frame, that still creates a hefsek in between. You can't really call that samach l'seudah if my intent is that I'm going to, you know, go circle the block 10 times and, you know, I really sprint. So it's, you know, it'll only take me 5 minutes and then I'll be back. That would still certainly be problematic.
So in other words, let's say somebody did whatever constitutes barer. You know, making an Israeli salad, you're chopping up the cucumbers very finely.
Well, you're in Tochen now. Let's say grabbing the tomatoes out of the drawer.
Grabbing the tomatoes out of the drawer, right?
So you're separating the...
So you do that, and now something comes up. So when you did that, you had every intention of eating it. The question is, are now, let's say where you had a major thing. You had to go, you had to go pick up your kid by a certain time at somebody's house. Does that now constitute... Are you allowed to get hana from that
You could certainly get hanaf. Yeah, you could certainly get hanaf from it. The question is, should you do that lechatchila? Should you try to taste something first? Hold that till the end. I don't know that it necessarily... It may have an impact with respect to time. I haven't seen it necessarily with respect to, or it being an issue necessarily with respect to what happens when I have to go do something. What we're talking about here is a little bit different. The interruption itself is not going to take very much time. So that, in theory, I could still say that this is samach l'seuda. But if my plan was that I'm going to go down the street to my neighbor's house, pick up my kid, and then come back, that's not an appropriate thing to do. That really would not be considered samach l'seuda to take the tomatoes out of the drawer first, then go pick up my kid, then come back. That would not be okay. That
so
wouldn't
in other
be acceptable.
Words, would you still be able? Oh, well, you'll get that.
Getting hana after the fact would certainly be okay. We'll see that.
I didn't know if there was some sort of like knas.
No, not on today's time.
By Chazal,
which is very fair, especially when it comes to malacha. Especially when it comes to malacha, meaning if we're saying that if it's not some chasud, that's really malacha, and you really did borrow, then you really couldn't be nene from it, at least potentially. Okay, another issue where some of these same items rear their head yet again. What if you have a large suud, though? So we started speaking about this a little bit, and when the Rama makes reference to the idea of not only performing borer for myself, but even performing borer for other guests who are going to be at the table. So you have poskim who are mekel and poskim who are machmir when it comes to this sort of thing. Let's say you have a large suuda. The shaila was posed to, it's actually brought in, oh, let's start with a kula. So the sharatim later on, this is actually in Hilchas Yom Kippur. Don't want to get too involved, but basically, would it be permissible to start preparing for the suuda that I'm going to have, the breakfast that I'm going to have later on at night, even on Yom Kippur? Leaving hachana issues aside, would this be, let's say, something of either a borer or a tochen issue or things along those lines? So the question is, could I, let's say, crack nuts that day for the purpose of eating them later on? What would you need if it's, let's say, tochen? You would need it to be samach l'seuda. So can I consider it to be samach l'seuda? At what point can I consider it to be samach l'seuda for the purpose of being able to crack the nuts today for the purpose of my eating them later on at the breakfast? This all sounds, if it's crossing your eyes, because we would never do such a thing. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we would never do such a thing. But at least as a thought experiment.
As long as there's any period of time between the time that you cracked the nut or did something and the time you're eating it, there's a period of time where you're not allowed to eat it, then...
Well, that's even more machmir. Okay, so meaning basically what you're saying is that we should have a more strict standard for Yom Kippur than we would for Shabbos, because of the reality that I can't eat it right now. Meaning in theory, Shabbos... Okay, right. Fair enough. What the Shulchan Aruch says is that min ha-mincha ulamala, presumably meaning mincha katana, min ha-mincha ulamala, so that it's pretty close to nighttime, then you can start doing this. The Sharat Zion, which is like the footnotes of the Mishnah Berurah, so the Chafetz Chaim notes that... When is that the case? What's the Shulchan Aruch talking about? What the Shulchan Aruch is talking about is a scenario in which you are preparing nuts for a lot of people. And because you're preparing nuts for a lot of people, it takes a long time to actually do so. The implication is that the more people that you have to prepare for, the longer we can allow the definition of samach l'seuda to expand to. Samach l'seuda is all relative. If I'm preparing a seuda just for me, how long is samach l'seuda? I don't know, maybe 5-10 minutes. But if I'm preparing a meal for 50 people, samach l'seuda could be, an hour or 2 hours. It could be hours long. Depending on how many people you're actually preparing for, that's all fair game.
Samach l'seuda would be the point at which you finish preparing close to the suuda, not when you necessarily started, because that whole period of time that you're preparing is samach l'seuda.
Samach l'seuda. How much time, which by the way, seems at least, now maybe Rav Moshe was just talking about a regular stam kind of case, but that's basically what Rav Moshe answered Rav Eider, that if you want to know how long samach l'seuda is, how long does it take to prep everything? However long it takes to prep everything is what we'll call samach l'seuda. How long does it take? Does it take a half hour? Does it take an hour? Does it take 2 hours? Sounds like what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, is that it depends on the number of guests, and that is an appropriate issue to take into account. Shiloh was asked of the Chazon Ish. This is brought in Sefer Nachlas Eliyahu. So he asked the Chazon Ish about preparing meals in like some kind of large cafeteria setting, probably like a yeshiva, school, camp, camp dining room, or a hotel, that sort of thing. You could have hundreds or thousands of guests even. So is that all considered to be Samach L'Seuda? The Chazon Ish said no. And it's a very, very interesting svara. How long does it take for me to prepare the food? Well, to prepare the food for who? Chazon Ish's point is that to prepare the food for any individual or any small group of individuals that would constitute a typical meal, it should take about a half an hour. And he actually gives that psak. Half should be about a half hour. The idea that I'm going to take whatever I want to prepare food for these two guys at the end. How long should it take me? It should take me a half hour. Okay, so I'm going to do that for them. What am I going to do? That I'm going to do that 6 hours in advance. Why are you going to do it 6 hours in advance? Oh, because I have a lot of half hours that I got to accomplish. Meaning I have so many guests that I have to do, I have to give you your half hour, you your half hour, you your half hour, you your half hour. Chazon Ish says, how in the world is that appropriate? Meaning, in what way do the 99 other guests impact the one guest for whom you need to prepare Samach L'Seuda? The idea that he happens to be in a room with 999 other people, in no way it's totally irrelevant when it comes to the amount of time that should be given to prepare appropriately for him. So the Chazon Ish says that it's much more objective sort of criterion, that maybe to some degree it could be argued that, a typical Seuda that you usually have, the Suda Mereyas, Sheves Achim, Gam Yachad, you have a few people sitting around. Chazon Ish has a half an hour period in the story. Anything else, if you need to do Borer, make sure that you do it before Shabbos, because I cannot do Borer early for you simply because you happen to be sitting in a room with 1,000 other guests. That doesn't work. That's not a viable heter. What about quantity when it comes to a large Seuda? Large Seuda, even a small Seuda. Ordinarily, when we make food, we're not so exacting. So do you have to be exacting? Meaning to say, if all the Borer that I do is supposed to be Samach L'Seuda, what about the reality that there's going to be some left over? There's going to be some left over. I don't know that we'll really get to the bottom of the salad bowl. I don't know that we'll really get to when I'm separating out the chicken, different platters, this, that, or the other thing. We're really going to finish all of it?
Yeah, so, but that was never a factor.
Why?
Because the parameter here is time. The parameter here is not quantity.
Well, look at it this way. The parameter is time, right? So let's say I'm separating two different types of chickens. It's all in the same tray, and I want to put them on two different serving platters for all the people who are at, which is mutter, because it's Samach L'Seuda. In what way is it Samach L'Seuda? Because you're going to eat it right now. Oh, one second. How many pieces of fish? How many pieces of chicken? How many serving bowls of salad do I really need for the 10 guests who are sitting around the table? Meaning, if I start to prepare, if I have 10 guests and I'm preparing for 20 people, then the last 10 portions are in Samach L'Seuda. It's not Samach to this Seuda anyway. I know per force it's going to end up as leftovers in the fridge. That's not
sort of like the halalachas,
Ah, okay. So here's the way that the Mishnah Berurah puts it. This is at least at the very beginning of Shin Yud Tes here. He says, "V'im kavanasu kadesh yishtayir gam achar Seuda o al Seuda acheres." If the kavana is to have food left over for some other Seuda afterwards, Chayev Chatas. The Torah says that it's mamish an issue of Boer. However, in Mamelin Ishtayr Mibiraso, Ala Achar Seuda, if there's some left over afterwards, Ein Bekach Klom, that's not a big deal. Kevon Shekvar Berer Beheter. Since when he separated, it was done Beheter. Sounds like it's true. This it's not. You could maybe argue that the Mishnah Berurah is not talking about necessarily being so generous with the actual portions. It just means if some ends up being left over. Okay, but my intent was to give. Archos Shabbos at least says straight away that no, you can prepare ba'ayin yafeh, right? You can prepare generously. You don't have to be mitzamtzim to such a degree where you're scrimping and trying to calculate every last piece that anybody's going to eat and only cut up a few at a time or only separate a few at a time. Once it gets eaten, you'll end up in the kitchen for the entire seuda. That would still be considered appropriate. Again, whether you're dealing with a small seuda or certainly for a large seuda, that's an important item to keep in mind.
So for Shabbos, I mean, there's people that put out platters and stuff.
Right.
And there's people that put portions on people's plate.
Ah.
Isn't that a bore type of thing?
Truth is, you probably are better off in that case, right? Assuming I am separating in some capacity or another when I'm making individual plates for people. There I really know, okay, this is going to be for you, right?
Right.
It's not like...
they're separating from the big...
Separating from the big one?
Yeah.
For the individual person who's sitting there, which would be permissible because it's for him and it's for that person right now. So meaning I'm taking the ochel from the platter for this person to eat. I'm doing it by hand, and I'm doing it for immediate use. It's for him to eat right now. Right, that would maybe be either you're saying something else. L'chumra, should we say that you have to do it that way? Right? You don't have to put things out on platters. You put things out on platters, it becomes very difficult to determine how much anybody's going to take. Perforce, you're going to end up putting out and separating out a lot more than you really needed. Maybe you should davka have to give each person their portion. It doesn't seem like that's
this is where
kavanah
comes into play.
Correct.
It's all kavanah.
Probably.
I think if you want to do a rama, you know.
So if you're really doing a rama for sure. So that's for sure. That's the name of your sefer, right? Yeah.
Creative.
Piazza. That's right. Certainly for the Mishnah Berurah, that's what it sounds like. Meaning, why is it not a problem? Kevin Shekvar Beirah Beheter. At the moment that he did it, it was all Beheter. It doesn't matter that now, after the fact, there's some left over. That's not an issue. Maybe we'll discuss briefly when that could still nevertheless be problematic. How far does Kavanah get you? We'll talk about that maybe at the very, very end.
So, excuse me. I don't mean to hijack this year. But,
not at all.
But since we get Lamentesh Malachos from the Malachos that were done in the Mishkan,
right?
Why don't we go back to that and see, in other words, if the Malachos were, I have to separate the seeds because I have to dye the ureas. Why don't we go back and now leverage what was done in the Beis HaMikdash and sort of like apply it to ourselves.
How much time they needed in order to do that.
How much time they needed to do that before.
We do to a degree. Well, a couple of things. First of all, the malachos are always, meaning, effectively, Herb, what you're talking about is the distinction between a malacha and a tolda. Right? Malacha is the absolute, you know, paradigmatic example of what was done in the Mishkan itself. That's the malacha. That's the av malacha. When it comes to a tolda, it's a parallel form of labor, a parallel form of work that might not be the exact same, but effectively fulfills the exact same purpose. Nevertheless, we do. So we understand that the malacha is going to include more than precisely what was done in the Mishkan. But nevertheless, we do apply those criteria, at least to some degree. Meaning, that's what's going on here. We need that this be at least a malachas machsheves. We understand that Borer was done for whatever reasons it was done in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan. But Borer is now this category, it's this brand, it's this type of labor that has far-reaching implications and so many different manifestations. Having said all that, it needs to be Malachas Machshavas. And if it's effectively equivalent to what I do when I eat, and we know that eating is certainly beyond the pale of what we consider to be a malacha or malachas machsheves, so then it should be appropriate. Now the question is, okay, so how long? Meaning it's not a matter of how long does it take for, did it take in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning if that's, or the Mishkan, that's how long it took for them to accomplish the malacha, because we understand that the malacha might be broader than that. Question is, what about what we know to be mutter? Not so much what we know to be usser, and we're back from that direction. What do we know to be mutter? We know that food is mutter. We know that eating is mutter. So how much time do you have before we can no longer say that, oh yeah, this is just the basic derech achila? Well, once it spills beyond the time frame at which you need to actually prepare the food that you're going to eat, it's really not derech achila anymore. It's just not what people do. That's already like preparing something or perfecting food that I might eat later on, but it's no way connected to this achil that I'm going to perform now.
So in other words, if they gather the seeds at 9 a.m. and at 3 p.m. they started cooking the seeds to make the dye,
doesn't mean that anything
we
shorter
now
than
can't
that.
Import that.
Right.
You can't say I have that
shear.
Right.
We can't
import from that which we know to be usser. We can import from that which we know to be mutter. Right? We know that achila is mutter. So how far can we stretch out achila for us to consider? Right? But not when it comes to the actual isser. Some practical cases. So we've spoken about some of these already. Setting the table, you have a mass of silverware. Mass of silverware is absolutely considered to be a tarovest, so separating them out would be problematic. It should be done samach l'su'udah. By the way, you should just know, I wouldn't necessarily rely upon this, because figuring out when it can and should be relied upon is probably more tricky than it's worth. But an interesting psak from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach with respect to setting the table. He said that if you are setting the table for the purpose of the people in the home, being able to just enjoy having a nicely set table instead of things being all hefkervelt and dishes are everywhere, whatever, you lay them out neatly and nicely, that becomes sort of its own purpose. I mean, even though I'm not going to be eating right now, the reason why I'm setting the table right now is because I want to enjoy it right now. It's nice to be in a room, and it's nice to be to enjoy that avira, the atmosphere of being in a nice, nice set table.
Not messy. You want things
to I won't say there. It's nice, and it's pretty, and it's beautiful. It's enjoyable. By the way, it happens to be just parenthetically. This is true to some degree when it comes to hachana also, right? You need to be careful in terms of, let's say, arranging dishes, stacking dishes, washing dishes, soaking dishes. If the reason why you're doing it is for the purpose of hachana, I want to make dishwashing later on in Motzei Shabbos that much easier. So you have to be careful. That could be an act of hachana. But if the reason why you're cleaning up, or the reason why you're rinsing things off, because you just can't bear the sight of, you know, I want to throw this out the Shabbos afternoon. Why do I want to throw it out? Because it's disgusting, right? It's gross. This really comes to head with respect to Shal Shudis. Shal Shudis, depending on who's here, right? In our one-room schoolhouse here, right? So ordinarily, we can just go to the other side of the mechitzos. No harm, no foul. We don't have to pay attention to the fact that it's still a colossal mess. Why would we start throwing things out now? So we can get a leg up on cleaning up after Shabbos. That's really almost an act of hachana. If, let's say, sometimes we'll have like a woman or two, but let's say we had like a nice crowd in the Ezra's Nashim, and that's where all the shal shudis, and we should absolutely throw things out right then and there. Because you need it right now. Right now it's got to be clean. Forgetting about after Shabbos, after Avdallah. Right now we want it to be straightened up. So something of a similar idea, similar concept. Again, you got to be very careful. Rav Eliashiv noted on this psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman that you certainly couldn't apply this to food. You could only apply this to kalim for a number of reasons. First of all, the purpose of kalim is that it makes things beautiful. It's the beautification of the table. Certainly not when it comes to food. To prepare a salad so you could put out a salad. Oh, isn't it beautiful to look at this? You know, to look at the salad. Certainly should not take it that far. And Archa Shabbos just notes also that obviously this is when people are home. When people are in the house to enjoy it. Not that on my way out of the house, on the way to shul, I want to set up the table, make it look all beautiful, so that in an hour from now when I come home, it's like this voila effect of, oh my, the table's already neat. If it's not for right now while people are actually at home and enjoying it, because nobody is home to enjoy it, then certainly that wouldn't be appropriate, wouldn't be mutter. Peeling vegetables in advance. Got to be careful about. I think that sometimes, anyway, this is sometimes at least the way that I think about it, got to catch yourself, that we know that I'm not allowed to peel with a peeler. We're going to tackle that next week. But let's say I don't peel with a peeler, but I know that I can peel with a knife. Why can I peel with a knife? I guess because it's not bow rare. So since it's not bow rare, I'm allowed to do it. Peeling with a peeler is bow rare. Peeling with a knife is not bow rare. So I can peel with a knife 2 hours in advance. It is borer in the sense that you're removing that which you don't want from that which you want. You're removing the psolas from the ochel. Why it's mutter, we'll speak about. But you have to make sure that that's done only samach l'sa'uda, only immediately in advance of the actual sa'uda. Comes up with respect to prepping salad, you know, peeling cucumbers and those kinds of things before shul, for after shul. Okay, well, also true. Lemon juice. Lemon juice on the apples. Keeps it from oxidizing. The acid keeps it from oxidizing.
Really?
Yeah. It's a great life hack. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well,
you're very welcome, Herb. If you gained anything, if you gained anything from this year, it's lemon juice on the apples. So another scenario: you're bringing a potluck kind of thing, bringing the salad to somebody else's house. So I'll do it. I know I have to do it after shul. So you run home, peel the cucumbers after shul, and then it's, you know, I don't know, 20, 30 minute walk, let's say, to somebody else's house. By the time you really get there, really much better off actually, bringing them and then taking care of it there, or peeling it there, or peeling it before Shabbos, whatever it is. But being mindful of the fact that, yes, it is borer and still needs to abide by all of the rules, including miyad, including that the brewer is done for immediate use. This is a great example. I was talking to Rabbi Goldstein at the Masifta from Young Israel Elkins Park. He brought this up. That was a great example. Happened to him or to his wife on Shabbos. She was going through the toy bin. Right, wanted to bring toys to the park. She was bringing her kids to the playground. And was going to bring toys, and she kind of caught herself. That is not miyad. It's not miyad to bring them to the park because I don't know. Maybe they're going to want to play with them. If I'm going next door, if I'm bringing this because I want to bring it next door, I want to play with my friend, or even down the block because I want to play with it right now. But as a safety net, right? You know what happened? You bring to the park and it's great and it's exciting for 30 minutes, and then they get bored. So then you have to like bust out some other toys and things for them to play with.
What was the act that
she
did?
Huh?
What was the act?
Let's say taking toys out of a toy bin or something like that in the tarot vest.
Certain toys you want to take sometimes.
Pulling them out. So I want to bring these toys with me. So that's Ochel Mitoch Psolas, and it's Biyad. But it's not really Miyad. If it's just supposed to be a safety net for later on, we're going out, we're going to company for lunch. And they don't have any kids that are my kids' ages. So what's going to happen, you know, midway through the first course, they're going to start fetching and complaining. And I don't know that they'll even have any toys there. Let me bring some toys with me. That's not Miyad. That's really not Miyad. Just got to be, you know, mindful and got to be careful.
Too late. Pass the...
Yeah, it'll come up. Maybe you'll get bored more. You know. Here's another one. This is actually the subject of my focus. What about providing tzedal aderech? This happens a lot, especially with kids, right? So kids are like on the way home after lunch or that kind of thing, and kids are starting to fetch because we're already
2 minutes after you leave the house.
After
they
a little
say,
bit,
can I have some?
Right.
They didn't need it.
I didn't need anything. I don't want to have. I thought we were there for lunch.
That's why I'm not a bear in court. They didn't say, can I have some?
Exactly right. So I want to send them home with, let me grab you an apple to send you home with, right? Can I do that? Can I grab an apple to send you? I don't know that you're going to eat it, Miyad. Taking an adult apple.
You could eat it, Miyad. So
you could. I could. Look, I could do any of these things, but is that sufficient? Is that sufficient, or do I need to know? So the Arsameach actually paskins, Rav Meir Simcha. The Arsameach says that no, you really need to know that they're going to eat it, or at least that they're planning on eating it. But stomp to send somebody off with say little derech, like, oh, let me give you something for the road just in case. We don't do just in case when it comes to borer. Borer needs to be a calculated move to actually eat this item shortly. Shlomo Zalman had such an interesting psak. Shlomo Zalman believed that it should be permissible. Why? Because the act of providing tzedal aderech for people who are leaving my home is of value in of itself. That's my act. Even removed from the actual act of eating, I'm actually performing something. I'm accomplishing something simply by giving it to you. I mean, if you ask me, what am I trying to accomplish? What I'm trying to accomplish is giving you food. Are you going to eat? I don't care. That's none of my business. I don't need to know whether or not you're actually going to eat it. That's not my job. I want to be able to provide you with something. I'm going to be able to give you something. That is its own act. That's its own tachlis. That's its own purpose. That's its own goal. That's its own objective. And since I'm accomplishing that objective immediately, as soon as I pull the clementine or the apple out of the bowl of fruit, that should be sufficient. Anyway, it's worth noting that the...
Generally, we help by Russia.
It's worth noting the subject of machlokes. By the way, very, very interesting. The Orson Mech said, not responding to Shlomo Zalman, lived far in advance. But said that he believed this even to be true. Let's say separating trumas and maestras, giving truma to a kohen, that's certainly an act in of itself. Even so, boer needs to specifically be attached to achila. You need to know that the kohen is going to eat it immediately. Even though it's considered a fulfillment on my end that I gave him truma, even so, that's not sufficient. Certainly, Rav Shlomo Zalman would presumably hold that that's okay. Here's an interesting one. If you have a freezer like my freezer, it is likely one big tarovis. So what about, now depending on how it's arranged and what it looks like, but let's say it's just, you know, it is like wrapped foil packages everywhere, and it's a tarovis. Can't necessarily discern one from the other. Can I remove a challah to defrost? Can I remove a challah to thaw? Removing it is removing the challah from a tarovis, and it's Biyad, and it's Ochel Mitoch Psolas, but is it Miyad? Is it Miyad to let it sit, you know, next to the plot or whatever for the next 3 hours in order to let it thaw? That's how long it takes. Maybe that should be acceptable.
When you took it out, it wasn't Roy Lachila.
It wasn't. So is that better or worse? Meaning, is that
less? Better.
It's not yet Roy Lachila.
It's better, so it's not considered food.
So what were you doing?
So then it's certainly Borer. I mean, I could do Borer.
Right. I'm saying, No. So
meaning, so this is how long it takes to prepare.
It's definitely, it's not food. It's not, you can't eat it.
So
it's not achila. It's not mazon.
So is that better or worse?
It's worse.
Is that better?
No.
Oh, you're saying it's worse. You're saying it's even worse.
You're
saying
it's
even
worse.
So
it's worse.
So
and somehow it changes from being not roi to when it's defrosted to being roi.
Couldn't
I? Nobody is going to take a solid challah. I don't even know if you could use it for lechem mishnah.
That's a whole other rule.
That's all, but but it's not lawyer. It's not
so let me just build the case in the following manner, right? There are a lot of things that are not ro'i l'achila, at least as far as I'm concerned, in their present state. Look, if I was starving on a desert island, I could absolutely get through. The same way I could eat lots of frozen things. I could eat a frozen popsicle. I could eat a frozen challah. Nobody would. It's disgusting. I wouldn't do that. But there are a lot of things. You know, it's one thing to eat, you know, the Persian cucumbers, right, with the peel. Those peels, I like the Israeli cucumbers. They're thin. You could eat them with peel on, peel off. No, English cucumbers, peel on, peel off. You don't scare me. What about, you know, the thick, rubbery ones? They're like 3 millimeters thick, and the peel, that peel has got to come off. So as far as I'm concerned, that cucumber is not even ro'i l'achila, right, in its present state. Does that mean that, like, do we run into a borer issue because what I'm removing absolutely is misake and achila?
Borer would not be misake. You wouldn't be misake in a frozen challah by any action of borer or anything else. The only thing you might say is, well, and even if warming up is like
so warming up is another issue.
Obviously, there's no bishul.
There's no bishul. So because there's no there's no afiyah here, right? If I'm putting it, I'm not even putting it on a heat source. I just wanted to heat up. But the case, basically, let's look at it this way, right? If it's really absolutely not ro'i l'achila, then it should be mukta to begin with.
It's derech achila to take it.
So you're saying, listen, this is derech, right? If it was raw pasta, is mukta on Shabbos? Can't move raw pasta. Can't move a potato on Shabbos.
Aye, but if you were on a desert island, you would eat raw pasta.
Correct. So we certainly look at challah, even frozen challah, in a different way. Meaning, we wouldn't say that it's inherently not ro'i l'achila in its current state, but it can easily be brought out of the state. The issue here, the wrinkle here, is that what was required was a potential act of borer in order to get it to that point. So what's the problem? No problem. Listen, it's ochel mitoch psoles, and it's biyad. What's the issue? The issue is that it's going to take 3 hours for this to become ready. Is that considered samach l'achila? Meaning that so, however much time it takes to be able to heat something, that's considered to be samach l'achila. So there are actually two different psachim that are brought from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. The first was Mekel, the second is Machmer. It seems like he retracted. We were going so well. We're on a roll. Rav Shlomo Zalman initially was Mekel and felt that anything that you do that is for the purpose of achila, however long it takes to render something for the Seuda, appropriate for the Seuda, should be permissible, however long it takes. Same way that if I'm in a room full of 1,000 people, it might take me 3 hours to prepare. So that's true for the number, the quantity of guests and participants. It's also true for the status and the type of food that I'm preparing. Some food might take 3 hours to prepare because it has to fully thaw, has to fully defrost. Afterwards, he retracted. He said, it can't be considered some of the Seuda if it's not the type of thing that people ever do for the purpose of like achila immediately. I mean, right now I'm in a pickle. Right, I have something that's not really properly prepared, but this isn't derech achila. It's not like the way that I make a sandwich, right? Is that I take frozen bread and I leave it out to thaw for 3 hours. And particularly, he felt this. He felt that here's really the definition. If it's something that I need to do before the Seuda to have it at its best, then you could consider it to be samach l'Seuda, derech achila. That's the way people do it. But if it's just that I didn't prepare adequately enough ahead of time, then it's really not appropriate. And he lumps a whole number of activities together, a whole bunch of these. One would be thawing. Another one, let's say, be to cool something down. Cool something down, right? I have warm brownies. I have warm brownies, and I want them cooled. Let's say there would be some need to separate brownies, blondies, whatever it is, separate them for the purpose of putting them dafka in the fridge. I want them to be chilled. Is it that they're really best when they are chilled in the few moments or the hour right before the Seuda? Or I could have done this earlier. It wouldn't have made a difference. It's just that I forgot about it or I wasn't in that position. Let's say marinating is its whole other thing. Let's say putting dressing on a salad that would be making some sort of like coleslaw, and it's in a totally permissible sort of way. It's really best if it steeps for a while. It's really best if it sits there for a little bit. Would that all be considered to be samach l'Seuda? Do I dafka have to put it on and separate everything out immediately before? Can I do it sort of in advance, because that's really the best way to do it. So he says that's the criterion. And this leads to another kind of really, really practical issue. Let's say I have chicken in some sort of sauce, gravy, collection of liquid. So I can't eat the liquid on Shabbos because yesh bishol, achar bishol, balach. So I need to remove the salad. Effectively, that's an act of bora. I'm removing the salad pieces of chicken from the sauce, from the gravy, to put onto the plata. Is that okay? Is that permissible? It's not like I'm pulling it out because I'm going to eat it right now. I'm pulling it out so that I can sit on the plata for 45 minutes, that I can then put it on a platter and then prepare it, and then afterwards we're going to eat it. Is that okay? Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, yes, because that's what people do. You take cold food, you heat it up for this immediate seuda. That's what everybody does. It's not that I'm in this pickle that should have been heated earlier. No, you leave it on from before Shabbos. It's going to be burnt by now. You can't perpetually leave it, on the plata forever. So therefore, it should be permissible. It's an interesting criteria. Is this something that would be appropriate, normal, ordinarily done immediately before the seuda? Or is it just that I'm doing it immediately before the seuda because I didn't adequately prepare ahead of time? Final item, because Herb, I wanted to just circle back to this. You brought this up. So how far does Kavana go? What happens if I did Borer for immediate use and then I changed my mind? I really don't want to eat it anymore. Picked an apple out of the fruit basket and I'm about to have it. I don't want an apple. I don't want it now. I changed my mind. So I was really intending on eating it. Now I decided not to. So it was when I did it, it was appropriate. So on that Mishnah Berurah that we saw before, Shaar Tzion comments that, listen, when you did it, it was mutter. He quotes Prima Gadim, and the Prima Gadim says, nah, it's really not appropriate. You shouldn't do that. Now, what does it mean, I shouldn't do that? It sounds like you're saying you should have it anyway. Take a bite out of the apple, do yourself a favor. Have a bite out of the apple. And the Shaar Tzion, the way he puts it is, I don't know, you really need a raya to say that's something that you'd be chayiv to do. He doesn't seem to like it. It's interesting. He points to just very quickly. He points to a previous halacha in Shin Tes Zayin Sifavav. Talks about the following case. Let's say you have a deer trapped in a house or a corral or something like that. And the reason why the deer is trapped is because even though there was an opening, somebody came and sat down right at the opening. So somebody's there, somebody's blocking the door, effectively. Now I go and I sit next to that person, and then that other person gets up. Well, now I'm being tsud, right? I'm the guy who's actually trapping the deer. Well, no, but it was already, when I sat down, it was already acceptable, it was already fine. So the Shaar Tzion is, what's the connection? He's saying that if at the time that you did it, it was acceptable, it can't be that the reality or the scenario that changed afterwards somehow or another affects my initial act. It should still be acceptable. It should still be okay. There was a quote, I'm trying to remember, it may have been Rosh Shlomo Zalman, quoted by the Archa Shabbos, that actually said that, no, I'll tell you what the distinction is between these two cases. The difference is that specifically when it comes to Borer, what is it that makes Borer mutter? Why is it that it needs to be Miyad? Because if it's Miyad, we can still consider this to be Derech Achila. It's derech achila, it's the way that you eat, if it is close enough to the actual act of consumption for us to say that it's all part of the act of consumption. And consumption, eating food on Shabbos, is absolutely mutter and is not a malachas machsheves. Once you remove the act of achila, then miyad dissipates. It actually is, it could be an issue with Mafreya. If you don't actually eat it, forget what your plan was. My plan was to eat it. It doesn't matter. Meaning the reason why you need to plan on eating it is so that when you actually eat it, when you separate it originally, we could say that that was all part of the act of Achila. But if you remove Achila itself because you changed your mind, you really may be in a very, very dangerous place. All things being equal, if you can stomach it, if you can tolerate it, you should try to eat the fruit anyway. Try to eat the candy anyway. Why not? It's Onik Shabbos. And if you can't bring yourself to, then no Yishmi Alav Lismoch. Shaar Tzion seems to say that it is mutter. All right, Chevra, that ends our job for the evening. Ritz Hashem, we're going to have one last shiur on Borer about using peelers, vegetables, other kinds of kalim. And then we'll move on to another topic. If there's anything in particular that you want to try to address and discuss,